Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine. At this time of year, we typically have the local farmers' markets opening up in our communities. The current COVID-19 pandemic has meant things have changed significantly for the markets and for the farmers. We'll hear from the Boulder Farmers' Market on how they're adapting. Then, with Trump announcing this week that the US will no longer fund the World Health Organization, we'll hear from a local group that's been pushing for greater international cooperation during these times, the United Nations Association of Boulder County. We'll check in with John Lendor for Radio Nibbles. And then just after 8.30, we'll bring you another panel from the Conference on World Affairs. It took place online last week. This morning, we'll hear about our health post-COVID-19. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. The latest figures on the novel coronavirus released by the Colorado State Health Department on Wednesday shows that nearly half of all deaths in the state from the virus have occurred in nursing or residential nursing facilities. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment said on Wednesday that as many as 176 residents of such facilities are believed to have died from COVID-19. These numbers include 39 cases where residents had showed symptoms of the virus but had died before being tested. So far, 357 people have died in the state from COVID-19. Nursing homes and residential care facilities have been thought to be especially vulnerable and have been locked down for weeks. On Wednesday, the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment announced that there were almost 104,000 unemployment claims filed for the week ending April 11th. That's 55,000 more than the week prior. Over the past 4 weeks, more than 230,000 claims were filed. The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment broke down the numbers by industry and say that the top five industries with the highest unemployment claims are the accommodation and food services industry, with more than 21,000 workers there filing unemployment claims, healthcare and social services, with almost 10,000 workers in that sector filing. The retail trade saw 7,400 workers filing for unemployment assistance, and the arts, entertainment and recreation industries were just over 4,000 of the claims. A daycare facility in Aurora is expecting an emergency shipment of baby supplies from FEMA that it will distribute to low-income families in need in Arapahoe County. The Aurora Sentinel reports that about 90,000 diapers, 1,200 baby formula containers and more than 1,200 packs of diaper wipes will be arriving at the Little Angels daycare facilities. All Aurora families plus residents of Elbert and Adams counties will be able to pick up free baby supplies this week. The daycare centre, Little Angels, will also become a type of regional distribution hub for other daycare providers in the region who will also distribute diapers, wipes and formula to the families that they serve. People in need can visit the Arapahoe County Early Childhood Council website to find out more and to find out where and when the supplies will be available. That website is acecc.org. That's acecc.org. Snow continuing to fall around the Front Range. There is a winter weather advisory in effect until 6 p.m. this evening. Several inches of accumulation possible today alone, another 2 to 4 inches possible throughout the day. Snow continuing overnight. Expect highs today just in the mid to upper 20s. Snow tapering off though, and Friday expect mostly sunny skies. Highs getting close to 50 degrees. Even warmer on Saturday. There is a chance that highs will become get into the mid 50s, but a slight chance of some rain showers coming in Saturday night. It is 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. as we heard in headlines, every aspect of the economy has been impacted by COVID-19. Agriculture is no different. At this time of year, we would typically see farmers' markets opening up around the Front Range. Of course, the current stay-at-home orders have stopped all of that. Farmers also have been impacted. To find out exactly what has been going on, I spoke with Brian Copham of the Boulder County Farmers Market.
So we are, first of all, assuming that we really don't know when we're going to have an on-street market. There are a number of suggestions, and other markets around the country are trying to do a socially distanced market and gauging the number of people that come in and then leave and metering. And the indications that we've seen are that the traffic is significantly lower than, of course, I mean, that's the point, but I mean like significantly lower, like down to 10 to 15% of what they're normally going to see, not because of their efforts to control traffic, but because people don't want to take the risk of shopping around other people right now. And I have a real concern that if we open a market like that, it's not going to be helpful to the vendors. Sales will be too low, and they will be putting themselves and their staff, customers, and our staff at risk. So what we've done is pivot to trying to have an online ordering system and a curbside pickup. And my feeling is that wherever this thing heads, we will be able to reliably perform online ordering and curbside pickup without being told that that's not safe to do. So we've invested in an online platform. We are getting it populated. We did have two pickups already. We had one on April 4th and one on April 11th at the Boulder County Fairgrounds. Both of those, as well as the one this Saturday, are really targeted at our food access customers for a few reasons. One is they have a high need. The other reason is it allows us to have a more manageable population size for customer pickup so we can learn how to do this a little bit before we jump in completely. And both to the 4th and the 11th, we did distribute 800 bags. So that was good. The 11th was dramatically better in terms of our own performance, but we still have a lot to learn. And one of those things that we've learned is that this is not Farmers Market 2.0. This is totally different business model. So we have different infrastructure needs. We're looking for space where we can do a pick and pack, even warehouse space. We are needing to buy box trucks, and our revenue model, how we typically cover our operating expenses, is completely irrelevant in this model. So we're trying to understand how we can cover our costs.
Tell us about the farmers component of all of that, because of course the farmers market doesn't exist unless you have farmers. What are you hearing from the folks who would typically have a farm stand in terms of how they're being impacted by what's going on?
People in this area, the farmers in this area who already have been really good about developing email lists and developing customer loyalty, those in the immediate Boulder County area who have farm stands and have done those things are seeing record sales. There is an incredibly high demand for their product. Now, the thing to remember is that we in Colorado really don't start seeing harvest until April, typically at the earliest. This year, we did have some in March for some of those farmers who had customers who were wanting to buy. So it's still really low supply out there. And usually where the farmers market really comes in is in the middle of the season when there's high supply and we can bring in a high volume of shoppers to meet that supply. So it's kind of undetermined right now how this will roll out if we're unable to really replace the market with this online platform. Other farmers who are not immediately around Boulder or Longmont don't have access to those 300,000 people, which include us. they are finding that they're struggling a little bit more because typically many of them will have had wholesale accounts, restaurant accounts that they were selling into, and they don't have that. So we know egg producers who are really struggling to sell product that they have. I think as product comes online with the growing season, we're going to see more of that because there will be a greater supply. And even many of the farmers around here were supplying restaurants and in some cases grocery stores. And those restaurant markets have totally dried up. So where are they going to sell that product? And that's the big question.
Well, to that end, because that really gets to, you know, a deeper issue around how our entire food system is structured, because on the one hand, we're seeing, I mean, certainly early on in this, we saw empty shelves at the grocery stores. But on the other hand, we're hearing about farmers being left with too much, whether it's eggs or dairy and certainly meat, because of the restaurants, you know, not taking the goods. Now, people who maybe aren't familiar with what's going on might think, well, why don't you just divert those to grocery stores or get it to people because people still need to eat. But really, it's all about the supply chain and the infrastructure. So maybe just talk a little bit about that, because it's really not as simple as saying, well, if the restaurants are closed, I'll just sell it to consumers directly. That's not really an option.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Maeve. So the supply chain is the key issue. It's not the grocery store shelves weren't empty because farmers weren't growing food. They were empty because the supply chain couldn't meet the demand. And what happens when we have an interruption in this global supply chain is we do think about local supplies, but the grocery stores have contracts with growers. They have procedures with growers. They have food safety procedures. There are all kind of regulatory elements as well as just contracting elements that need to be put in place in order for them to purchase food. And so it's not as easy as just showing up with a truck full of food and saying, hey, will you buy this? Because they have standards they have to meet, and they have to ensure that that grower standards can meet that. And so it's a very, very challenging system. If a grocery store has not already been working with local producers and set up this kind of secondary supply chain, they're really going to struggle with getting any of the local produce into the stores.
It's hard to see bright spots in any of this, and yet many people are looking to see what life is going to look like after we get through this pandemic, and certainly infrastructure, what that's going to look like, because so much has been impacted. Do you have any sense of whether this will change either society's attitudes towards our food system, because people are becoming more aware of these bigger problems, or what bright spots, or are there any bright spots that you see possibly emerging as a result of this?
I think there is already a bright spot, and that is that people are recognizing the value of a local food system. And, you know, not in the way that we have to eat 100% locally, but understanding that actually having access to food in your immediate area is an important thing when it comes to resilience. And I think that'll continue. I think that there are people that are currently engaging in the local food system that might otherwise not have. And my hope is that through the experience of it, even when there's not a dire need, they will understand the value of it because they've tried it. And hopefully they've had a wonderful experience with the quality of the produce and really want to have this kind of thing in their community. I do think that will carry on to a significant extent. I don't know if it'll be a decade. I think it'll be at least a few years. And I also think it's an opportunity for the regulatory agencies, for the county, for the municipalities, to have a little more oomph in their step about making sure that agricultural lands are used for growing food or raising food. This is, I think, another good indication that the highest use of our agricultural lands is not to provide pretty view sheds. but it is actually to produce food. And I think that is another bright spot that we'll see out of this.
Brian Copham is the Executive Director of the Boulder County Farmers Market. You can find out more about how they're adapting to what's happening right now and find out future pickup times for their curbside service available at the Boulder County Farmers Market in, at the Fairgrounds in Longmont. All the information is online at bcfm.org, bcfm.org. Well, Donald Trump announced this week that the US would no longer be giving money to the World Health Organization, prompting widespread criticism, especially by people who say that we need to work together globally and not just during this pandemic, but always. Well, one such organization that supports global cooperation is the United Nations Association. KGNU's Rosanna Longo spoke with Zuza Boli, who is a member of the United Nations Association of Boulder County. They're organizing a series of events this week ahead of Earth Day.
When people think of the World Health Organization, our arms of the United Nations, we think of, oh, they're helping developing countries that are in need. However, our country, even though we're highly developed and have a strong economy, we're in great need of this support. And as a matter of fact, in the very beginning of the crisis, our country was offered to get free COVID-19 testing kits, which were rejected by our president because he said, oh, we don't need this. Now we see the issue here in the country that we only have a certain number of test kits to even test people when they have symptoms. And that is worldwide a big issue that really we don't know the exact numbers. The numbers we have are only of those that can be tested and that have been tested. However, there are not enough test kits out worldwide.
What else is the United Nations doing at this point to bring awareness and to hear from everybody as a global human population to do and to have in mind as the number one issue at this point?
They would like to know of how the population, the regular population, views their future. What are important issues? And how these issues can be resolved. A survey was developed similar to the My World survey when in 2015, when Millennium Development Goals were turned into the Sustainable Development Goals. Now we have a survey that is called the UN 75 survey. It is about shaping a future together and going beyond 2020, envisioning our world in 2045. This survey is available online. However, in the next couple of weeks, there will be a national virtual Earth Week Summit. We'll provide a link to this survey, to this online survey, for all participants and speakers. So the Earth Week Summit will happen from April 10th to April 18th. And the website is Earth Week Summit in as one word.
Why is so urgent at this point, while we're having a health crisis, to come together during the Earth Week?
It is important because really our health is so deeply connected with the health of our environment. And Earth Week is, this is actually the 50th anniversary of the Earth Week. What we, like our way of how we have been mismanaging and attacking the health of our planet. Now, this COVID-19 is one of the ways, one of the symptoms or kind of like outbreaks that we can notice as something that is threatening to us, similar to natural disasters like earthquakes and mudslides, flooding, and tidal waves. This is very connected. We will actually have, during the Earth Week Summit, there will be coronavirus special, an interview with questions and answers of the author of The American Pandemic, Nancy Brinstow. This might be of interest to a lot of people to join and learn a little bit about how our Earth and health are connected in so many ways and how we can perhaps also heal both aspects.
That's Zuza Boley, who is a member of the United Nations Association of Boulder County, speaking with KGNU's Rosanna Longo. There are many, many virtual events happening in honour of Earth Day and Earth Week. We're going to hear more tomorrow on The Morning Magazine. We'll hear from some Colorado youth activists, high school seniors, college students who are really leading the way for the virtual Earth Week events happening in Colorado in collaboration with 350 Colorado. That will be on tomorrow's Morning Magazine. It's 8:27. It's time now for Radio Nibbles.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy.
Everybody eats on Thursday mornings, especially when John Lendorf joins us by phone. Good morning, John. It's good to hear from you.
In this case, they're eating at my house from a distance because, you know, we have to.
Well, John is joining us live from the Radio Nibbles kitchen in Louisville. John, we just heard a little bit ago from Brian Copham of the Boulder County Farmers Market. A lot of conversations around food happening in the midst of COVID-19 and potentially some opportunities to change how we look at how we have structured our food, because, of course, food has been a big issue in COVID-19. And we have heard from local food banks that they are struggling. I know that Sister Carmen Community Centre has been distributing record numbers of groceries.
Yeah, there's a ton of food news right now about because of COVID. Sister Carmen is feeding, for instance, 200 people a day, where they were doing much less than that and distributing money to help people pay rent. So I just suggest that when you get that stimulus check, consider giving some of it to Sister Carmen. Emergency family assistance, Boulder food rescue, that kind of thing. The other thing is that restaurants are in kind of dire shape right now, a lot of food businesses, and everyone's encouraging you to get delivery or something like that. If you do that, call the restaurant directly before you call one of the Grubhub or one of the apps. It really is better for the restaurants and, you know, save some money for the workers there.
Well, I know many restaurants have been struggling. Many are really working to try to make some type of business through all of this with delivery. But we have very sadly seen the permanent closure of some real institutions here in Colorado. It was announced that the market on Larimer Square in Denver is closing. I think it's nearly four decades they've been there.
Yeah, I really loved the market in Larimer Square when I was the dining critic in Denver. It was really a lovely place. It's closing in Lafayette. Niecy's restaurant concert venue has closed. Not sure if that's going to reopen. Most of the summer food events have been canceled, including the Taste of Vail and the Aspen Food and Wine Classic. But some restaurants are reopening. For instance, Shine Restaurant is back open for curbside pickup and delivery in Boulder.
And there's some other local food news. You'd like to shine a spotlight on a local salumi maker.
Yes. This is in the, fun category, Il Porcellino Salumi, the fine Denver salumi maker. Is offering a truly rare product, homemade artisan Spam, the perfect quarantine food, but you can only get it at Il Porcellino's store on Tennyson Street.
Well, what's the best thing that you've cooked this week?
So I found a single rollout pie crust in my freezer, and it was Easter Sunday. And so I thought, you know, being a pie expert and everything, I should make a pie. Instead, what I would do, what I did was end up making six tiny mini pies with the various kinds of fruit that I had. It's called a croustade, and I made a pineapple pie. I made a pear pie. I made a wild blueberry pie, and very easy, and it also was very entertaining, and I think it's something you could do with the kids.
Well, you can find John online. You won't find his nibbles in the Boulder Weekly or Taste Buds or in Sensi, but you can catch John, as I said, online. His WordPress blog is johnlendorf.wordpress.com. And, of course, online at news.kgnu.org.
Happy baking, everyone.
Happy baking. Stay warm, stay healthy. Thanks, John.
Bye-bye.
When they come to my house, all of my friends are welcome. Don't make me coax you, moax you. Eat the tables, the chairs, the napkins, who cares? You gotta eat if it chokes you. Oh, do have a knish, knishia. Ask him the latke, matke. Chili con carne for Barney. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Face, Buster, Cher, Chops, Fump. Everybody eats when they come to my house.